Welcome to Project Zion Podcast. I'm Susan Oxley, your host for today. I live in Seattle, Washington, in the United States, and this podcast is part of the series called Climate Brewing. Most of the podcasts in Climate Brewing deal with the causes and effects of our climate change and the climate emergency that we find ourselves in today. Others deal with other environmental issues. So today I'm interviewing my friend, Rick Bunch, who is the team leader for the World Church Earth Stewardship Team. Rick has served on the team for 9 years, creating resources, issuing environmental statements, promoting the sacredness of creation on behalf of the whole World Church. The Earth Stewardship Team presented a resolution called G10 to the 2025 World Conference of the Community of Christ, proposing a broad spectrum of critical actions and advocacy relative to current environmental issues. I'm here today with Rick to get reflections on that resolution and on the Earth Stewardship Team's work. So Rick, thank you for being willing to share with us a little bit of the background about that resolution and your role in it. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's good to be with you. It's good to see you again after conference, and I appreciated our association there and your support of the various projects that we had going. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak my message again. As you well are aware, it's near and dear to my heart for a variety of reasons, and primarily because of my background, not only in parks management, but in natural resource management and so forth. So it probably would be helpful to give just a brief overview of the resolution was about, so that people can understand what we're talking about here. And probably what we would like to say initially was that back in 2016, President Vesey commissioned the Earth Stewardship Team to educate and to speak with a prophetic voice to address the issues of global poverty, climate, energy, ocean health, deforestation, soil degradation, clean air, economics, preserving flora and fauna, and access to healthy food and clean water. Now, that's a mouthful for sure, but in the intervening years, there's been much discussion about fossil fuels, and obviously what we've been dealing with Earth Stewardship is a much larger discussion than simply fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. So in the intervening years, we have been working on a number of projects, including study lessons and resources that could be available for people to address those subjects. So as the resolution itself has appeared, we are directing the future Earth Stewardship Team to continue that work and continue the idea of developing resources. But much of what we have done already has been in written form. And so I'm suggesting going forward that we somehow be able to develop some media resources that particularly young people are more interested in that format anyway. And so that should be helpful. So that's part of the resolution. We're also suggesting that going forward, any new and existing church facilities be evaluated so that they can be eco-friendly and ultimately even used as the venues for gatherings of people that are interested in discussing and exploring the various climate issues. That would mean then that every apostolic field and jurisdiction be organized and encouraged to conduct peace gatherings like a colloquy to focus on environmental issues unique to their locality. And this resolution recognizes the fact that issues, say, across the world from the United States would be considerably different than how we might approach these same issues in the Midwest or Northwest or whatever in the United States. And another issue that the resolution addresses is that our young people need to be involved. They need to be involved not only in the discussion, but in the actual pursuit of ways and means that we can discuss, but also make sure our facilities are eco-friendly at that point. And then finally, to suggest that the World Church leadership explore opportunities to be involved in discourse and with organizations and movements that speak to the plight of vulnerable and at-risk populations of the world and addressing the consequences of climate change as a matter of justice. And I might say that during the years that we've been involved in this process, that we have been very much in contact with the Peace and Justice team so that we can address justice issues, for example, clean water and the availability of food for some of our world's needy populations. So that's basically what the resolution was about.
Yeah, that's a very comprehensive summary. Thank you so much, Rick. So how did you feel about the reception of the resolution, the Earth Stewardship Affirmation, as it was called, at World Conference? What did you think about the way the discussion went?
Well, in the first place, I was very pleased that it passed. It was not,
of course.
It was obviously not without discussion, and discussion that would have been very appropriate. And I received some negative comments on the side and in the aisle, and I recognized that there are still those who question climate issues, but we cannot deny that something is different, something is happening, something is changing, and it's bigger than just fossil fuels, because all of the issues, those that I just reiterated, all of those issues relate to each other in some way and in a variety of ways. And much of it has to do with its origin in fossil fuels. But just for example, an issue of deforestation is a larger issue, and it has to do with our clean air and the mitigation of carbon dioxide at that point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
There are those who reiterated that this resolution was unnecessary and trite because church leadership can do all those things already. And that's true. But this represents a call to action to ensure that those things happen. It is a point at which we hold ourselves accountable. There are those who called into question the use of the word required. And just as an example, some years ago, we were in Zambia, East Africa, where Sherry Kirkpatrick had been working to improve the health of mothers and their babies, and infections were a problem. And we noticed that the rope that was used to draw their water from a hole in the ground was simply left on the ground where it collected dirt and possibly disease. And so we constructed a hitching post of sorts on which to hang that rope. But someone needed to make a decision to require that similar arrangements were to be required. And so a law was not needed, but it just made sense in that situation. This resolution was an attempt by a team of well-qualified people to call upon the church to accept some responsibility to actually do something.
Yeah, that was good.
And the bottom line is that we need to talk to each other in an organized fashion at all levels in a way that would bring people together to discuss what has happened and what can be done in the specific locations of those discussions. And above all, to bring our young people into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, the church at large, for example, a gathering like World Conference, can only reach a relatively small audience. And this is a call to have discussions in many places to involve many people in many places to address their specific needs.
So it's primarily designed to be adapted to local environments and local needs. and problems, not a blanket guidelines across the whole global church that would be identical.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where it goes. It was a little bit frustrating and disappointing for me personally, having worked on this now for 9 years, but our resolution dropped down to 10 out of 14. And beyond that, it was a little bit disappointing too, because there were two discussion sessions at World Conference, one having to do with discussion of the resolution, but another a presentation by a panel of our members to discuss some of the issues. And unfortunately, and for me, disappointing, that both of those sessions were fairly sparse in their gathering, the numbers of people. That just weren't that many people apparently were interested in what was going on.
Yeah, I can see how that would be disappointing. So perhaps I could ask you, how can the church address the lack of interest in this? And what do you see as the next steps for the world church, for mission centers, for individuals?
Well, that's a good question, and it gets involved in many different levels. For example, the World Church has already begun the process of altering headquarters facilities and resources to address some of the climate issues, including vehicles, utilities, and adjustment of times and venues for leadership meetings. And much of those are already being conducted via the media, so that people don't have to gather in Independence for those meetings anymore. As for local jurisdictions and mission centers, much of the discussion focuses on justice concerns and climate issues unique to each locale. And as I'd mentioned, the issues in Africa, India, are much different than the issues here in the United States. But much of that discussion addresses clean water and availability of food, and those are not ordinary concerns in a land of plenty. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, governmental decrees and actions are only adding to the crises exacerbated by weather events and issues relating to health of Earth's oceans. The Zionic ideal demands that we work together and support our friends in so many places. And then in addition, for most locations, we need to exercise good stewardship in developing and maintaining our facilities to ensure they're becoming and remaining eco-friendly. Granted, in many instances, there's cost involved, and local standards or requirements may not even be present, in which case I recommend that our church leadership in those locations can be leaders to demonstrate the possibilities that stewardship is a process. Other concerns may involve the fact that substandard materials may not be available in all locations. In any case, it would be the bishop or financial officers who would seek to promote quality. The question becomes, is it good stewardship to let those facilities deteriorate? In the long run, quality products and programmed maintenance may be less expensive than replacement or costly repairs. For jurisdictions outside the U.S., responsible decisions must be made by leadership as to what is appropriate and feasible in addressing those issues. People may decry the expense involved, but that was true a century ago when people had to evaluate the value of indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
As for individuals, it would be appropriate to assess the condition of structures and appliances and vehicles within their own homes or maybe even neighborhood to make adjustments and replacements and to follow good practice in consumption and conservation.
Right. Excellent suggestions. You've already mentioned finances and economics as one of the main barriers to turning this resolution into action. What do you consider some of the other barriers that we might have to overcome?
Well, the obvious may involve arriving at responsible decisions in the first place, and then addressing the cost that may be at issue. Attitude may be a place to begin.
So
And
talk to me about that. Talk to me about attitude.
from the very beginning, the attitude that there's no climate change happening. Okay, so we have to get around those kinds of attitudes that dictate the decisions that are made. Answers to such questions as can and how can it be done, and the effort it takes to get there. And that could be part of the attitude then that we need to address that. Distance may be a factor in organizing events. It would be difficult to even in some of the mission centers in Africa just to get people together because of cost of travel and so forth.
Oh, yes.
So I would suggest that electronic and media resources may overcome that factor. And I'm aware of how that could happen. When I was Mission Center President in Washington, D.C., I was aware that people were not particularly interested in gathering for Mission Center conferences, particularly if it meant discussing the budget. And so we did some of our Mission Center conferences via telephone, and that was very effective. And I know that some of the members of the Mission Center in Montana, for example, a huge mission center, that they did the same thing. And I think you may have been involved in French Polynesia suggesting that it could be done by radio so that people in the outer islands did not have to gather into Papeete. And that worked out very well also. So those kinds of resources might overcome the distance factor at that point. Also, responsibility for decisions may be a factor, and ignoring input from those affected is an issue.
Oh,
So,
that's so important. I'm glad you brought that up.
a commitment to what is better may come into play. In too many instances, the penchant for self-maintenance may be a problem, and ultimately bringing in qualified personnel to address maintenance and upkeep may be advisable. So I think those are just some of the examples of barriers that might be out there, and there are so many more. And I would hope that when we bring people together to discuss these issues, that could be discussed and could be addressed at that point. They seem like minor issues, but ultimately, they could be major.
Yes, and as you say, it's the people who are affected the most that need to be consulted and drawn into those discussions and those problem-solving sessions because they're there on the ground. They know what the issues are, and they will not be supportive if somebody just lays a solution on them that doesn't really fit their situation.
No, absolutely. Good points. Thank you.
So I know that you have said that you're planning to retire from leading the Earth Stewardship Team. So what do you see as the future for the team and the direction it needs to go?
I am retiring. I've suggested to President Cram that I would be willing to continue on as a part of the team. But that becomes a bit dangerous also because I don't want to put pressure on whoever the new leadership or leaders are, that I don't want to be a barrier even to their discussions and to the development of some of the things that needed to be done.
Oh, I understand that entirely. That happens sometimes.
But it becomes obvious that new leadership is advisable. My tired ideas need to be upgraded and new energy infused into the process. The resolution is a call for the generation of new ideas, which should include media resources, as we've just mentioned. However, it must be noted that is a multitude of resources already available from numerous sources. We need, therefore, to assemble a team willing to search out those resources and make them available, and then have persons on the team with time to draft and create new materials. In the long run, it will save money, and there's no need to continually reinvent the wheel. And I would suggest that membership and support for the efforts of organizations such as the Wilderness Society, the Nature Conservancy, Ocean Conservancy, World Wildlife Fund, the Sierra Club, the Audubon Society, the Trust for Public Land, and International Wood Cultural Society that deals with issues such as deforestation. They're working tirelessly to mitigate the destruction of Earth's resources and habitats and produce volumes of research and literature with expectations for a better world. In spite of the discomfort in doing so, we must also hold our elected officials accountable to make better decisions for the plight of poverty-stricken constituents. Mission leadership, Mission Center leadership, must come on board by way of support. And that becomes an issue for apostolic leadership to invite local leadership to respond. Awareness is a must. For example, 6 study lessons have been available and have been for some years. As of mid-April of this year, evidence indicates that the Herald site has been visited less than 150 times. Mm-hmm. And my former Mission Center president was not even aware of their existence. To reiterate, those lessons explore climate's relationship to climate issues, clean water, food production availability, poverty, ocean health, and the scourge of plastics. With a 7th lesson under review at headquarters now on deforestation. As a future of the team, there needs to be a balance between youth and maturity. With the wisdom of age comes some very knowledgeable people, but young people need to know they are respected and an integral part of the team.
You have really helped outline a vision for the future, as well as a clear understanding of where we are right now and some of the barriers and problems we face in turning this resolution into action. Now, is there something else that you would like to say? Anything else that you would like to share with us in closing?
Well, I'm always good for a sermon.
Good for you. I'm open to a sermon.
Well, I truly believe in the sacredness of creation. Yes. And because of its sanctity, environments become a matter of spirituality, a response to the presence of the good spirit interaction, therefore becomes a spiritual practice for me personally. We must, in my opinion, expand our definitions of spirituality and stewardship. Going forward, our response to the plight of the peoples who struggle to obtain the basic needs become a matter of justice. We cannot avoid that responsibility, and a stewardship that does not dwell on what is right or wrong, but seeks to address the question, what is better in the face of need and crisis? And I say, I'm sorry this has become a sermon, but for me, it is a passion that has resulted from my professional background in natural resource management, juxtaposed with the recognition of the plight of so many people, humans, who suffer great distress as a result of decisions that have been made for which they have no voice or control. It comes from the recognition that we are part of a vast web of life with kinship to be enjoyed with flora and fauna, having a right to exist, and our responsibility as partners to guard and protect their habitats as a matter of stewardship and climate justice. This resolution has come with the expectation that we must put our words into action, and the time is now. A suffering Mother Earth and countless suffering inhabitants need our response without hesitation. As the scripture challenges us, the time for hesitation is past. Let's do something now. And I also have recommended, and I hope the leadership of the church follows through, to maintain a close relationship with the Peace and Justice Committee, because we have so many issues that are part of both of our teams. And so however we can work together to work for not only climate justice, but justice for our human inhabitants, not only human, but as I mentioned, flora and fauna. So that's where I am at this point. I hope we can begin the process of doing something immediately and actually get something done.
Well, thank you, Rick. I really appreciate your sharing with us today. And I simply want to thank you for your years of service and dedication as you express your passion and your leadership with the Earth Stewardship Team. You have certainly given a lot of time and effort and thought and spirit in creating resources and leading that team and thinking through what needs to happen and laying a foundation that we hope others will continue as we move forward into the future. Thank you very much.
Well, you're most welcome, and it has been a pleasure and a privilege, and I appreciate the trust that World Church leadership has placed in me and in my team as we have sought to respond to President Veazey's commission at that point. So thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Rick.